So we are on Daf Chof Aleph Ahmed Aleph. We're up to the Gemara. It's about 12 lines or so from the bottom of the Ahmed. First word on the line, we're up to the beginning of the line. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Now this is not difficult Gemara, and although there is a very important Tosus, that'll slow us down a little bit, but the Gemara is not difficult. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Arba meyos yelodim hoyu loy leDavid. David HaMelech had 400 children. V'kulam b'nei yifas toyar hoyu. And they were all the children of Yifas Toya. So we know the halach of Yifas Toya. It's a very, very rare exception where the Torah makes special mitigation for the fact that a person's going to have a very strong Yetzirah at the time of battle. So he sees this Isha, who essentially is not Jewish. As we know from Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, he brings her home, there's the whole process, and finally he marries her. What's critical is we have to know that after she goes through the whole process, she then becomes Jewish. But she was not initially Jewish. Now, I will point out, because we're going to see, we'll see this in Tosfos, there is a very big machloikus between Rashi and Tosfos. When is the first time that he's allowed to have relations with her? Is it there during the battle, before she has converted, or only after you bring her home? That is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So we'll see various opinions. I don't want to get involved in the details yet. We'll see it soon, but bear that in mind. Either way, says the Gemara, David HaMelech has 400 children, and they are all the product of a Yifas Toya, or several Yifas Toya relationships. Not only that, says the Gemara, Umagadle Beloiris Hoyu. How do they translate Beloiris of Yosef as a long hair? What's it, you're on mute, Rabbi Yosef?
Yes, it says long locks of hair.
Long locks of hair.
Long locks of hair, sorry.
Right, which is considered clearly not very complimentary. They are dressing in non-Jewish fashion. V'kulon yoishvim b'kroinois shel zohov. And they all paraded round in golden chariots. U'mahalchin b'roish geisois. And they would lead the troops, strong people. V'heim hoyu balei agroifin shel beis David. And they were the soldiers or the tough men in David HaMelech's palace. V'omar v'yudom harav, Tomor bas yifas toyar hoiso. Now we need to know a little bit of background. Those who have learned the Navi will remember the story. Those who have not, let's just fill in the details of the story. Tamar, as the Gemara is now going to explain, was David HaMelech's daughter. David HaMelech, Tamar's mother, was David HaMelech's wife. Exactly how she was his wife, we'll see in a moment. The Gemara is saying at the moment that she is a Bas Yifas Toya. David HaMelech had another son, who, if you look back, go back up to the Gemara, to the first very wide line, and it says, who was the Bechor of David HaMelech? Amnon. Amnon, whose mother was Achinoam. So it would sound like, therefore, if Tamar's mother was married to David HaMelech, So was Amnon's mother. So they are brother and sister, not fully, but via their father. They both have the same father, Dovah HaMelech. Which, if that were to be the case, then obviously they cannot marry each other. Because Min HaTorah, you cannot marry a sibling, even if it is only a half-brother or half-sister. However, if Tomor is a Bas Yefas Toyar, as the Gemara is now suggesting, then it may well mean that actually her mother is a Goy. And if she's a Goy, then she is actually Muta to Amnon, her brother. Those are the rules. Even though they share a father.
Didn't you just say that he can't have relations with her until she converts, correct?
That we said is a machloik as Rashi and Tosis, and that's going to be precisely Tosis's problem with Rashi. We're going to see this in a moment, Mitzvah Hashem. Now, Amnon, Dovah HaMelech's son, very much wanted to marry or have relations with Tamar. The question is he allowed to or is he not allowed to? So if Tamar's mother is Jewish, then even though Amnon and Tamar have different mothers, but by virtue of the fact that they're the same father, they can have relations. But if Tamar's mother is not Jewish, then they can have relations. And the Gemara at this point is assuming that Tamar's mother is not Jewish. And the proof is, have a look at the Gemara.
Is it?
Shenemar, as it says, Va'ato daber no'al ha-melech ki lo yimne'eni mimoch. So Amnon is receiving advice on how about to get to be able to have relations with Tamar. If you're going to consider the mother of Tamar absolutely married to David, well then nobody can give him advice to go and marry Tamar because she can't. Is Achsei mi avashariyale? Would anybody in the world permit him to have relations with his sister? It can't be. Elo shmamino bas yefas toyar hoiso. So look at Rashi. Rashi is further up the Omer, yefas toyar. Yefas toyar hanishbis b'molchama, who is captured in war, k'diksiv, V'ro'iso b'shivyo. Tamar, who's Tamar? Tamar is Achois Avshalom. We learned early on in the Omad Avshalom is the son of Ma'achor. So Achois Avshalom, Bas Yifas Toya Hoiso, Koidem Shanis Gairo B'leiv Shalom, before she converted. Ma'achor Imoi. Yoldeloy le David es Tamar. So Ma'achor birth to this Tamar, but she's not yet Jewish. She is with him as a Yifas Toya. So Rashi is clearly telling us that David Amalech had relations with this Ma'achor before she converted. If that's the case, then Ma'achor's daughter, Tamar, is actually allowed to marry Amnon. Says Rashi, Va'ato daber no, Tamar mansiv le eitzer la Amnon. Tamar is giving an eitzer to Amnon how it is that they can end up having relationships. How can they have that? Mi avashari elei al shmamino adayin loy nisgairo imoy kasheyoldaso. So we must conclude that Tamar's mother Ma'achor had not yet converted. Why does that make a difference? at the end of the day, whether her mother had converted or hadn't converted, but she has the same father as Amnon. Dovid HaMelech. There's Rashi, V'tanan. We've learned in a Mishnah, Vlad, Shivcha, V'kutis, Mi'Yisrael, Einloi, Kurvas, Av. We have learned elsewhere in Yevamos that if you are the son of a maidservant or a non-Jewish woman, that your relations, your family relations through your father do not exist. So therefore, Tamar, if she is the daughter of a non-Jewish woman, and we're suggesting that her mother was indeed non-Jewish at the time, Macho had not yet converted, then all her family relations via Dovid HaMelech are not considered family. So therefore, Tamar is actually allowed to marry Amnon according to this cheshbon. Again, even though they share the same father, Dovid HaMelech, but Tamar's mother is not Jewish, at least at the time. Based on that, there's now setting up Tamar and Amnon, how it is they can end up being together. So look at the Gemara, says the Gemara. Ula Amnon Reya. Amnon had a friend, Ushmoy Yoinodov ben Shimo Achi David Ish Chocham. So Amnon has a friend called Yoinodov, who is an Ish Chocham. And normally when you describe somebody as an Ish Chocham, it's complimentary, but here it's not so. Omar of Yudom Arab Ish Chocham L'Rosha. He was very wise, but he used it badly. He was the one, this Yoinodov, this friend of Amnon, is actually the one who is going to advise and set up how it is that Amnon and Tamar can end up having relations with each other. Why? What did he say? Vayomer, and he said, Madua atokocho dal ben amelech vayomelo yenodov shav al mishkovcho vehoschel. Ad vaososole eina esabirio. So what does it mean vehoschel? Look at Rashi vehoschel. Three words, says Rashi, asay atzmacho kecholim. Yoinodov's advice was, pretend that you're ill. Make out as if you're a chayla. So you're going to be lying in bed and you're going to need assistance. You don't really need assistance because it's a fake. But you're going to pretend you're not well. And we're then going to invite Tamar to come in, and that will be her pretext to come in as if to take care of you during your sickness. How so? Says Rashi, Habirya Michael Tigun. She's going to bring you some fried food. So she's going to take care of your needs, quote unquote. You didn't have any needs, so you wasn't ill, but make out as if you're ill. That will be the pretext for Tamar to bring in some fried food to take care of you. Says the Gemara, how does the apostle carry on? Matikach ha-mashores v'titzoy klafonov. So the mashores, meaning Tamar, now comes in front of Amnon, Omar of Yudam Arav, she'osu soloi mine tigun. She made for him some type of fried mixture. Now, what happened after that? They did indeed end up having relations. Following which, however, a very strange turn of events. It says, "Vayisne'eho Amnon sino gedoilo." Amnon, having had relations with Tamar, then hated her a terrible hatred. Now, why did he hate her? If he so craved to have relations with her, so why does he all of a sudden hate her? So the Gemara says, a very dramatic turn of events happened. My timer, Omar Yitzchok, Nima Nikshara Loi, V'Ososoi Krushovcho. One of her hairs became attached and tied to his aver and severed it, thereby rendering him a krushovcho. Krushovcho means he doesn't have that eva, he cannot obviously now have relations anymore. And that's why he hated her. Now, says the Gemara, v'chi nikshur aloi ihi my obda. Well, if it just became, as it were, tied around his eva, what did she do wrong? It happened by accident. So why would he hate her for it? Elo eimo, rather, we have to suggest koshra loy mimo. Not that it became tied, but she deliberately tied one of her hairs in the lower region there around his eva. V'osusoy krushovcho, and she deliberately made him now into a krushovcho, and that's why he got so angry with her and hated her. Says the Gemara, how can that be? If, whether by accident or deliberately, she took one of her own hairs and tied it round the eva, then we are assuming that there was hair there. How can that be? Amy. That Bnois Yisrael, some by the way have a custom like this until today, Bnois Yisrael do not have any hair. They take up, remove all the hair, both under the arms and also in the lower region, around their waist. So how can you say that Toma took one of the hairs? There should have been no hair there. The answer is Shani Tomar the Bas Yifas Toyer Havoi. She was a Bas of Yifas Toyer, as we said. Why is she the Bas of the Yifas Toyer? Because, as we said before, her mother was Ma'acho. So therefore, her mother was a non-Jew at the time. So too, she's also non-Jewish. If she's non-Jewish, therefore, she's obviously not subject to this halacha of yeah having hair or not having hair. Now, let's just press pause for a moment. We said before that with regard to Amnon and Tomo having relations as brother and sister, there's no problem. Why is there no problem? Because even though they were both the children of David HaMelech, that relationship, that family relationship via their common father is not a problem, seeing as the fact that Tamar's mother was non-Jewish, which means that she's also non-Jewish, so it's not a problem. However, Rabbi Isai, let's not forget that there's another problem over here. And what is the other problem? The other problem is, it's all fine and well that there's no relationship as in brother and sister, but at the end of the day, she's a goy. So Amnon should not have had relations with her for different reasons, i.e. because she's a goy. So therefore, this story has still ended up very tragic consequences. Yes, he was not over Gilui Arroyes, as in having a relationship with a sibling, because she's not considered a sibling, but he certainly has had a relationship with a goya. And we'll see in a moment what happened as a result of that. So look at the Gemara. The Gemara continues the story.
So why didn't she convert by now? I mean, this is the daughter of a Yafas Toa, so I don't know how. It's David HaMelech's daughter. Why wouldn't? And she's living in his home, so why wouldn't there be some type of
100 children who are parading around like goyim? They may have remained goyim. Got no chiyuv to convert. The Yafas Toya herself has to eventually convert. That's true. If he wants to carry on living with her, but not the children. Now, says the Gemara, following this story, Tamar was absolutely distraught. Having been coerced into having relations with Amnon, what happened? Vatikach Tamar Efer al Roisha. She then took ash and put it on her head like somebody in Avelus. And her beautiful linen clothes, Kora she tore. Tana Mishmed Rabbi Shua ben Korcha, Geder Godoil Godra Tomar Boisei Shol. So at that moment, Tomor was actually producing a magnificent geder, a very important fence for Klal Yisrael forevermore. How so? Omru, she said, Libnois Melochim Kach. Libnois Hedyoitois Alachas Kamo Vekamo. She went around and publicly announced, look what happened to me. And if this can happen to me as the princess, well, obviously it can happen to somebody who's just a commoner. If this happened to me and I was a tsonua, then all of Kal Vachomer, this can happen to somebody who is not a tsonua. In other words, she was warning everybody, you can't be too careful. Look what happened to me. And that's what it means. Geder Godel. She made a terrific announcement in Klal Yisrael. Look how careful you have to be.
But if she was a guy, who would care? When, why is she tsonua? Like, all these examples sound like if some guy's running around as a tznius woman and making all these gezeiras for clients rolling, everyone would say, who cares? You're a guy.
And Achrami, she was just telling him, if you look at me, I was tsonua, whether she was mechuyev or not, she was tsonua, and nonetheless, look what happened to me. So she was warning Klal Yisrael, look what will happen to you if you're not tsonua. If it happened to me and I was tsonua, then if you're not careful enough and you end up not tsonua, then you're doomed for failure. Look at the last Rashi on the Omud. Godra tomor bedim osa with her tears, v'za'akosa with her cries, v'noago atzma v'bizoyen. And she deliberately made this whole announcement and she was mevaza herself. Nosu shar noshim kal v'chomer ba'atzmon. Such that other women would now make a kal v'chomer. And what would they say? Ma benois melochim. If this happened to the daughter of a king, ira kilkul zeh, this terrible kilkul happened, behed yoid, toys with common people, alachas kamo v'kamo. Says the Gemara, a historic thing happened at that stage. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, ba'oisei shol, at that moment, gozru al ha'yichud va'al ha'pnuyo. We know that min ha-Torah, there's an issa of yichud, a man and a woman together. What about a penuya? A penuya is somebody who is not married, like Tomor. Tomor was not married. At this point in Klal Yisrael's history, the gezeira was made. Yichud is not allowed even with a penuya. Tomor was a penuya. And look what ended up happening. Says the Gemara, 1 second, something doesn't make sense. It says that they made a gezeira on Yichud v'al ha'pnuya. What's going on? Yichud do'iraisa hu. Surely Yichud is do'iraisa anyway. We don't need to make a gezeira to outlaw Yichud. It's also anyway. How do we know it's do'iraisa? How do I know that Yichud is also min ha-Torah? Shenema, ki yisischa ochicha ben imecho, v'chi ben eim, masias, meisis ben, sorry, v'chi ben eim, meisis ben av, einoi meisis, eloi malocho, ben misyached im imoi. A son is allowed to be misyached with his mother, but v'ein acher misyached im kol aroye shabateira. So we have a special drosha, which we're not going to get involved with now, from which we learn that, yes, your mutter to have yichud with a mother or your child, your grandmother, your grandchild, but not with a foreign woman. Therefore, we know that yichud is also an ateira. So how can you tell me that they were goyzala yichud? Yichud is also anyway. Elo Eima, you're right. Gozru al Yichud the Pnuyo. So with regards to yichud with a regular woman who is married, that's osa anyway, minatayro. They then stepped in and they said, no, you cannot have yichud either, even with an unmarried woman, because Toma was unmarried, and look at the terrible consequences. Now, by the way, we should just mention, because sometimes a mistake can happen. A very, very common shaila that's asked and should be asked, for example, in a babysitting situation. Right, I've got young boys at home, we've got a teenage girl coming to babysit. So now, at first glance, we might think to ourselves, this is a terrible mistake. We might think to ourselves, okay, this teenage girl, it's true there's a shaila of yichud, but it's only midrabbanan, because like the Gemara says over here, it's a special gezeira at the time of David HaMelech that you shouldn't have yichud even with a pnuya. But that's a mistake, because it is assumed that all girls above the age of 11 or 12 are automatically assumed to be tamei on nidah. Nowadays, unlike in the times of Chazal, it's only a married woman who goes to the mikvah. But a non-married woman does not go to the mikvah, and she becomes tamei once a month, she remains tamei. Well, if that's the case, then it's not yichud midrabbanan. It's yichud min ha-Torah. Why? Because it's true, she's not a married woman, but she's still considered an erva by virtue of the fact that she's tamei on nidah. A woman who's a nidah, there is an issa to have yichud with her min ha-Torah. And therefore, one has to be very, very, very careful and very aware that a babysitting situation with a teenage girl could well be a shayla of yichud, not min drabonon, but actually min ha-Torah. Says the Gemara, let's try and finish till the Mishnah.
Just a follow-up question on that. So, Daraisa, it's because the woman might be a Nida? Or
we assume.
So that's by a Panuya, but a married woman, let's say, for some reason, she just happens to not be a Nida at that time. So is it still a Yichud?
It's Yichud ben Atera, because she's a married, she's an Eshesish.
So it's double direct. There's two reasons why it's for yichud. One's for a married woman, one's for a penuya.
Yeah, but penuya is only midrabonim.
But I thought you said it's daraisa now because she might behold she's in.
I'm saying if technically, that's what I'm saying, it's not relevant. If technically you would be aware of an unmarried woman who is tahira, then it would only be yichud rabonim. But because we assume that every 12-year-old girl and upwards is tamei on nidah, so therefore this whole halacha of pnuya being a derabbanon is no longer relevant in our times. Every pnuya there's a nisin yichud deiraisa. After she gets married, then she may well be tahira, because she does go to the mikvah. That's also irrelevant because she's a married woman. So therefore, for one of two reasons, women there is a nisin yichud deiraisa, either because she's a married woman, so it's irrelevant whether she's tamei or tahir, or she's an unmarried woman, but the assumption is that she's tamei. But either way, there's yichud min ha-Torah. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Va'adonia ben Chagis. Chagis was another one, we saw this yesterday, one of the wives of David HaMelech. Their son Adonia misnase, he was haughty, elevated himself, Lemor Ani Emloich. I am going to be the next king. Omer of Yuna Marav Melamed, Shebikesh Lehoilmoi, Veloi Holmesoi. How do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef?
He attempted to fit the crown on his head, but it didn't fit.
So Chazal say that he actually tried on the crown of David HaMelech, because he was so convinced that he's going to be the next one wearing it. But he was rather taken aback. It did not fit. Look at Rashi. Rashi explains this. Shebikesh lahol moi v'loi olmosoi, shechoshav v'roishoi kese malchus, but v'loi olmosoi. Didn't fit him for technical reasons. לפי שהיה שרבית של זוהב בתי חללו מדייפן לדייפן. It was like a stick of gold that crossed from one wall to another. Ve'ena misyashevez b'roishay. It doesn't fit anybody's head. Ela l'mishi yesh le'choritz b'roishay. An unbelievable thing. Imagine if you have a crown, right? It's round at the top. But there's a bar that goes from wall to wall, like this. So if you put that crown on your head, because of this bar that goes from wall to wall, it's not going to sit on your head. The only way that's going to sit on your head, imagine if you took the bar away. So then the crown would fit very neatly on the person's head, locked in. But it won't do so. It won't be able to go on the head if you've got that bar. But a tremendous thing happened. Those people of Malchus Beis David, they had, as it were, like a groove at the top of their head, such that this bar underneath the crown just slotted into that groove, didn't sit on top of the head, it literally sunk into the head, and then the crown fit. But this Adonia didn't have that groove. Says Rashi, "Ve'ena mas yashevez b'roishay ela l'mishi yesh le'choretz b'roishay." It will only ever fit on somebody's head if you have that groove. "Ve'hi eidus le'beis David." And that is always the eidus. This person indeed is fitting for the malchus. "Shekola ro'u le'malchus ho'el musay." A miracle. Anybody who is fitting for the kingship, the crown will fit. "Umisha eina ro'u le'malchus einoi ho'el musay."
Why was there so much fighting over the malchus then? You could just see you don't have the groove in your head.
The question is whether we're happy to take the sign, whether they're willing to take on this testimony. But the Maisa, for us at least, that is the ultimate proof. Quite right. Okay, one more line of the Gemara. "Vaya'as lo'i rechev u'proshim v'chamushim ish rotsim lefanov." He made himself a whole chariot and fighters. Myra Busa, what's the chiddush over here? Omar Rav Yudah Omar Rav Kulam Netulei Techoil V'chakukei Kapois Raglaim Hoyu. These warriors of his, these fighters, they had their toil. Toil, I think, is translated as the spleen. They had their spleen removed. So too, they had the skin at the bottom of their feet removed. Why so? So look at Rashi, the last Rashi before the mission. Let's quickly see this. Netulei techoil ala de sam. They took some potion, and that removed the spleen. Sha'atchoil machbidoi la'odom. Because the toil actually weighs down a person, and he wanted these very fleet-footed runners. V'chakukei kapois raglaim ein bosor b'parasei sem. There's no flesh on their souls. V'rotzim ala koitzim v'ala barkonim v'einom nizoikin. They were able to run along the road, whether it was thorns or spikes, and they wouldn't be injured because there was no skin there. So that's how he was so determined to have these very swift, fleet-footed runners, took out their spleen, took off their flesh of their feet, etc., etc. Okay, so we've reached the mission. Now, I would like the Ezra Hashem tomorrow to have a look at the Tosfos on Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. And then, Bez Hashem, we'll make a start to the next Mishnah, all being well.